Answers from James.
We're going to do answers from James. From me, I'm James. And today, what shall we talk about? So the question I get the most, and I think for good reason, is, James, you do all this presentation stuff, you give all this presentation advice, but my biggest problem is I can't even get up on the stage, man. It frightens the hell out of me. Well, there's a good reason for this, and you're in good company. A lot of people have stage fright. And I'm just beginning to dig into this a little bit and made some discoveries, and I'm going to share those with you. But first of all, let me motivate you to get over stage fright. You need to get good at presenting. It's important for your career. It's important for your ideas, because I don't care how good your idea is inside your own head. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care whether you think you should get promoted, whether your feature needs to get implemented at a higher priority than others, whether your idea for a startup needs to get funded by VCs. Your opinion doesn't matter. It's your ability to convince others that your ideas are good, that you need to be promoted, that you've got, and that means a stage. Some of those stages are one-on-one, you and one other person. Some of those stages are small team meetings. Some of those stages are big-ass auditoriums where there's a lot of potential for you. The potential to impress somebody out in that audience who can help you. That's going to happen. You need to get good at presenting. Why does it scare the shit out of you? I'm not going to teach you to get over stage fright because, first of all, it ain't possible. And secondly, you don't want to. Understand that stage fright, that flight response, oh my gosh, there's a stage, run away, is incredibly helpful to you. That is the same response that saved your ancestors' lives when the bushes were rumbling and they're like, oh my gosh, a lion in the bush, panic, flee, right? That's that same flight response. It kept them alive long enough to procreate so that you got here. Without that fright response, none of us would be here. So, the question is what to do with it, because we can't run away from the stage. The stage quite literally is the new jungle. And we can't flee this time. So we have to reprogram ourselves. We have to understand that this response needs to be dealt with. But I don't want to make it go away. Look, the fact that you're nervous on stage makes you real. The fact that you're nervous on stage, the audience looks up at you and says, look at that, it's a real person. I mean, think of the last time you saw some overconfident, not nervous at all, every word polished douchebag up on stage. You don't like them, they're too perfect, the world seems too easy. The nervousness, right? The big sweat rings that I get every time I'm up there. The occasional spatter. The not being able to find the right word. This happens. It's called being human. Don't allow that to go. So what I'm going to teach you is not to banish your stage fright. I'm not going to teach you to make it stop. I'm going to teach you to change the response, because that's what you have to deal with. You have to understand that your body is coming up with a response. Now, it turns out that the place in your brain where this response is coming from is important in all of this. Neuroscientists agree that stage fright and things like this are products of our subconscious mind. Our ancestors had relegated this fight or flight response to instinct. Lion in the bush, lion comes out, you run, right? That's instinct. You don't spend a lot of time thinking, that lion's moving pretty fast, you know? Right, it happens, these are autonomic reflexes, like fight, flight, boom, it's done. So we don't have a lot of control over that part of our subconscious. And in fact, if you really study this, there are only two responses. Flee the lion in the bush, or fight the lion in the bush. And either way, all those physical responses, the sweating, the nerves, the energy, the inability to eat before you go on, the urge to throw up, they make you run faster when you're running away from the lion. And they make you fight harder when you're fighting the lion. But we're not talking about the jungle anymore. The stage is the new jungle. And I want to take that flight response and I want to reprogram it. I want to reprogram it to a fight response so that when you ascend that stage, all of the nerves you channel into energy to deliver an amazing, amazing talk. So let's get there. Now, if we want to reprogram this flight response to a fight response, you can't wait until the last minute. I see this all the time, right? I give talks at conferences and people are like, oh, I'm backstage in the green room. Do you know why they call it the green room? They call it the green room, you know, that speaker prep room in the back, they'll have it. Even if it's not painted green, I've actually never been in a green room that was green. They call it the green room because that's the color you turn right before you throw up because the stage fright has overwhelmed you. And so I'm backstage and people are like, oh, I'm really nervous. What do you do, James, to control your nerves? And I'm always blunt with them. Oh, dude, you're going on stage today. It's too late. You're not going to be able to do anything. There is no Zen-ass mind trick that you can pull out of your ass at the last minute that's going to calm you down. It doesn't work that way. This is the subconscious we're talking about here. It takes time to reprogram this sucker. So you got to start days before your presentation and begin that reprogramming. And the goal for this is basically to convince your subconscious, I got this. Right? Think about it. Here comes the charging lion. If your subconscious has sat and watched you kill other lions, and your subconscious has sat back and said, dude, this guy's really good with a sword and a spear. I think he's got this. Then your subconscious isn't going to tell you to run. Your subconscious is going to tell you to fight and pull out that sword and slay the lion. So we want to do the same thing with stage fright. We want your subconscious to assess the situation and say, you know what? James has got this. He's going to go out and he's going to kill it. He's going to be fine. So how do you do that? And it starts days before, right? What I want you to start doing days before is begin to develop your own confidence that you got this. Your subconscious is going to be watching you. And eventually your subconscious is going to think, okay, all right, I'm going to hold off on the flight response because dude's got this. So here's how I do that. And I've been doing this for years. I had no idea really that I had been fighting my subconscious this whole time, that I had been reprogramming my subconscious for so long. But for days in advance, I will begin to recite my talk. I want you to kind of, you know, be mindful of your nervousness, because stage fright isn't just going to wait until you actually ascend the stage. Stage fright is going to fuck with you for days before. Stage fright is going to make you nervous every time you begin to think about your talk. Stage fright's going to go, run away. And then the next day you're going to think about your talk and it'll run away. You can't keep running. You can't wait until the last minute. That's what your subconscious wants you to do. Your subconscious does not want you to think about going up on that stage. So don't. Instead, every time your subconscious is like, oh my God, we got his presentation in 5 days. You better begin to freak out now. Don't freak out. And instead, recite your talk to your subconscious. Whether you do this quietly or whether you do it out loud, that's step number one. Begin to reprogram your subconscious. Keep reminding your subconscious, I don't have to run. I'm going to get this. Now, when you do this, your opening line is crucial. Your opening line is absolutely crucial. So every time the flight response comes, every time, oh my God, I got to present in 5 days, and you start sweating and your heart starts pounding and you begin to get really nervous, just give it your first line, right? My IoT talk, my first line was data is the new oil. And so I'd get nervous a few days before and I'd just look my subconscious right in the eye. Data is the new oil. Big data, little data, structured data and unstructured data. Data is quite literally the new oil. And like oil, data will be responsible for the largest transfer of wealth from one place to another since the Industrial Revolution. How do I know that so well? How is it that I memorized that so well? Because days before, every time stage fright would begin to bubble up, every time I would think, oh shit, this talk is coming up, I'm not sure I can do this, I would stare it down and I would give it my opening line and my opening minute or so. And it helped me refine that opening line. It helped me refine that opening minute until it got really compelling. And I do this now for all my talk. I spend a lot of time days before just crafting and fine-tuning that opening line and making sure that my subconscious sees it so that by the time the day comes and then the stage fright gets really bad, oh my gosh, I'm about to walk on stage, the stage fright gets really bad, I just remind it. Data is the new oil. Big data, little data, structured data, and unstructured data. Blah, blah, blah. And the evidence is now amassed for my subconscious. Hey, wait a minute. He's got this. Let's take all that energy that we're trying to use to get him to run away and convert it to the fight response. Energy that he can use in this battle while he's on stage. It works. So, practice out loud. Let your subconscious hear this. Let your subconscious know that you've got it. Now, as the time begins to get a little bit closer, right, as we get to the day before, let's say, so you've been doing this for days, you've been reminding your subconscious. Now you've gotten to the day before. Now I want you to switch your purpose. By this time, your subconscious has got it. Okay, he's got the opening. You're not going to forget it. That's confidence when he's on stage. Okay, now I want you to get your whole talk inside your head. And generally, the day before, what I will do is I will take a long walk in the woods or something. I used to live in Woodinville. I don't anymore. I needed to move to put my house on the Internet of Things, but maybe that'll be a future episode. I used to live right on the Redmond watershed, and I used to walk in it. And I would literally recite my talk out loud while I was on the trail. Now, a trail was a fairly safe place to do this. It's not like I'm out in the Cascades somewhere where no one's going to see me. There are people on this trail. And practicing out loud like that, giving that talk, right, to the trees, it's a little bit nervous. It's kind of like game-like conditions because when is somebody going to just turn a corner and, oh my God, they're there. They saw me talking to myself. It's not like I've got headphones. It's, oh, how embarrassing. That's good because that little bit of nerves while I'm trying to recite my talk, memorize, remember my opening lines and recite the points and trying to connect them all together, that's game-like conditions. I'm nervous because somebody might see me talking to myself and think I'm crazy, which is the same thing that you think, your audience is thinking, oh my God, look at this guy, he's going to totally screw it up. And so it adds that bit of game-like pressure. So do this. Walk around the mall. Recite your talk to yourself. Try to get the whole thing in your head. Now, don't just be happy with what you got. It's not like you're going to tell this talk to yourself 100 times and you memorize the whole thing. That's not going to happen. During this recitation of your talk over and over again the day before, begin to tweak it. Begin to make it more memorable. Make sure that the points line up properly. Here's my advice. Give your talk the tweet test. And you need to be able to come up with this tweet. Can you tweet the purpose and takeaways of your talk in a way that people will get it, right? 140 characters, that's what you got. Give it a tweet test. If you find to take the entire purpose of your talk, and if you can't boil it down into 140 characters, you're either saying too much, which means you need to cut a bunch of shit from it. You want to decrease the amount of nerves you have? Give a shorter talk. Give an easier talk to give. Or you don't understand it well enough yourself. You haven't really thought through the point progression. Point number one, deliver that one. Point number two, deliver that one. Point number three, deliver that one. That's going to give you more confidence. You get it to the point, okay, I understand my talk. And I understand the points I'm going to make in my talk, done. It's going to increase your confidence. It's going to be more evidence to your subconscious. He's got this. Got it. Fight response is a better thing to do. All right, so the other thing I do the day before is I really begin to massage my slides. So as I'm walking through the woods reciting my talk, sometimes I'm having a hard time remembering that thing, right? I make that point, and for some reason, I make point number three, and for some reason, I keep skipping point number four, and I don't realize it until I'm at point number five. Now what do I do? That's what your slides are for. Help, let them make it so that your slides are a reminder for you. That way, part of your brain is like, oh, I might forget this. A part of your brain doesn't have to do that now, because you're not going to forget anything, because the slides are going to guide you through it. And if you've ever seen me talk, go to my website, docjameswb.com, and look for the shit I present part, and click on some of those. And if you look at my slide decks, all the slide decks that I've ever used, they're as much for me as they are for my audience. They're as much to guide me through my own process and my own, okay, make sure you get this point, make sure you get this point, then they are helpful for the audience. And that's okay, because it's not just me up on stage. I'm not alone. It's me and my presentation. So format your presentation so that it helps you remember the parts that you're struggling with. Okay, so that's the day before. Now you wake up, and it's the day of the show. Your subconscious should be giving you less shit now, because for days you have been showing it, I got this. Every time those nerves have surfaced, you've been able to recite the beginning of your talk. You've gone through it, you've got it, you've massaged your deck, everything's good. Get a good night's sleep, maybe. Hey, look, don't sweat the night before. I've given big talks, right? South by Southwest, CES, Digital Life Design. I gave a talk to like 26,000 people in the Philippines one time. You talk about nerves. Didn't really sleep that well the night before. Don't sweat it, right? That's what coffee's for, and that's what your morning prep is for, too. The morning of is absolutely crucial. So your goal for the morning of is to really synchronize your narrative with your slide deck, right? Kind of go through it one last time. I don't just put, you know, F5, show mode, page down, page down, page down, page down, I got this. I don't do that. I actually mumble to myself when I'm doing this. I give it a lot of talks at Microsoft in Building 92, which is a bunch of classrooms, basically. And if you ever go to one of my talks, show up early. You'll see me in one of those side rooms that with the glass doors. And I will go in. I leave the door open usually, just because it's a little bit embarrassing to be in there mumbling to myself to my slides. And I basically kind of run through it. But I've added a rule. I've found that this is really useful. I have a 5-change rule the morning of. I want to make 5 edits to the talk I'm about to give. 5, at least, maybe more. Sometimes they're content edits, but I have to have 5 edits. And so I'll change a wording, or I'll move some graphics around, or I'll change an animation. There's something kind of psychosomatic about it, I think, that it just helps me learn my deck better. It helps me get more familiar with the slide deck that I am about to present. It helps me get it in my head. So notice your routine. Ever since I changed my routine and added that you must make 5 changes to your PowerPoint deck the morning of your talk, my narrative is better. My script makes more sense. My talking to the slides is more in sync. I'm less likely to press, next slide and go, oh shit, that's not what I was expecting. I hate those moments, and I have those moments. And there are some of those moments on tape too. You can watch on YouTube. So 5 changes. My routine is very fixed the day of a talk. There's something intellectually, that's probably the wrong word, neurologically, neuroscientifically pleasing about a routine. Your brain's like, okay, yeah, I got this. This is normal. This is what I was expecting of this day. I wake up early. I avoid human contact as much as possible. Humans aren't my thing. On a good day, on a presentation day, definitely not my thing. And I go through my preparation. I make my five changes. And then I walk down the hall or wherever I go, exit the green room, and go and ascend the stage. So by the time I've gotten to that stage, for days before, I've been giving my opening monologue to my subconscious every single time it rears its head and says, run away. Over those days, my subconscious is slowly getting it. Okay, maybe he's more ready than I thought. The day before, I go through and refine my talk, give it the tweet test, make sure that every point I make is supported by the slides so I won't get out of sync with them. I know my story. And then that morning, it's a very comforting routine that I have that sort of puts me at ease. Music is the other thing that I add to this. If you come to see my talks at Microsoft, at Microsoft, I have control over the gear, over the tech. And I always bring my own playlist. And it's got my favorite artist on it. It's got, Ben Union. It's got the Fame Riot. It's got Cage the Elephant. It's got Jack White. It's got, the stuff, the songs that really bring me up. And some older songs, too, that are just, have good memories associated with them. Just something a little bit familiar. You see athletes, right? They've got their headphones on before the big game. Just familiarity is the key that morning. But then at some point, you got to step up on stage. At some point, you've got to be there and you've got to be ready. Here's what's going to happen. Despite all of this, despite the preparation, despite the constant reminders to your subconscious, fight, please, help me fight. I don't need to flee. You're gonna get up on stage and you're going to have a physical reaction. Your heart rate is going to increase. Your blood pressure is going to go one way or the other. You're going to sweat. You're going to get nervous. Your legs are probably going to shake a little bit. You might become short of breath, which really sucks because you really need to breathe. You're going to worry about forgetting your opening line. Stop worrying about that. You got this shit. You've just spent the last few days proving you got this shit. So let's go back to these. How can you circumvent this? You can't. The stage is going to cause it. You're going to walk up there and all those nerves are just going to come. So don't let the stage have that. Don't let the stage be the reason you get in that state of sweating and breathing and do it yourself. I always do it with push-ups. And I've done this, right? Like backstage, I remember doing it at I think it was Digital Life Design, right? I just fell out, just dropped and started cranking out push-ups, even as they were, I could hear the announcement, cranking out push-ups, because what was happening is, instead of letting the stage do all that physical shit to me, I did it to myself, because those push-ups, boom, bam, 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 they got my heart rate up. They made me start breathing heavy. They were the ones that made me press out. It was me. I did it to myself. So all of a sudden the stage is coming and is like, I'm going to raise your heart rate. No, bitch, I got it to you before you did. Get your bitch ass state. You ain't got me. I got me. The stage is going to mess with you. Don't let it get there first. Bring it on, stage, because my heart is already pounding. I'm already sweating. By the time you got to me, it's too late. And you've just defeated stage fright. Well done. Okay, I might have forgotten some shit. So, on medium.com/@DocJamesW, please read, the stage is the new jungle. Now, the stage may be the new jungle, but you take this stuff to heart. You practice this stuff, and I just made you the new Tarzan or Jane. Go out and conquer that stage. Peace.